Welcome to another installment of the MSARN podcast series, I'm Just an Ambulance Driver. This month's topic, safe operation and vehicle safety. It would appear that vehicle safety initiatives are on the rise in EMS. This is in part due to the increased visibility of ground-based and air medical crashes of recent history. Now, there is limited data quantifying the exact number of ambulance crashes nationwide. Articles by Bigger et al. In 1996 and Costello and Gravitz in 2004 suggest that EMS may average 4.5 collisions per every 10,000 transports. The rate of fatal and non-fatal injuries varies widely by study, as one might expect. Now, the EMS.gov website provides some useful information related to ambulance crash investigations available for public view on the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration's Office of EMS website at www.ems.gov. There is limited information on what individual EMS providers feel about vehicle safety. In this month's podcast, we compiled comments on vehicle safety from multiple EMTs and paramedics from around the nation. First, let's hear from several EMS educators.
So when I think of ambulance safety, I think of operating the vehicle in a safe, effective manner from a defensive driving perspective. I mean, I'm sure lots of people talk about seat belts and being mentally aware of what's going on around you, but I think that ambulance safety in general is a broad spectrum sort of thing. Other than operating the vehicle with due regard to those around you and maintaining a safe distance from others, it's situational awareness in general, understanding everything that's going on around you while operating the vehicle, but also safety in the sense of situational awareness on a scene. So positioning the vehicle appropriately to work around it so that others will see you from a distance and also are more inclined to slow down. The other aspect of this is that you could position the vehicle in a manner to protect yourself, but how do we function around the truck? And so when I think of safety in that aspect, I think in terms of design. So these are some things that I think about in terms of safety culture with the ambulance, is that we have to have a better method for controlling the situation itself. It's not about just wearing a seatbelt and driving at a safe pace and looking around. It's understanding the entire environment holistically.
You know, when it comes to creating a safe environment for patients and providers, you know, I think the fatigue does play a role, but I think education does play a role as well. I should know as a supervisor if I was distracted as a driver. If I was in an accident, I was a distracted driver because of the conversation, because I was on my cell phone, because I was going too fast. That information is crucial. If I wasn't involved, but I had an incident required a drive cam to record, I should know about it. As a provider and as a supervisor, I need to deal with it, because what I'm doing, I'm preventing that from becoming, you know, not just a, oh, I bumped the curb, to, oh, I ran over a pedestrian because I wasn't paying attention.
Next, let's hear from our EMS providers.
So I think ambulance safety has a lot of room for improvement. Currently, the size of the ambulances gives a lot of drivers a false sense of security because they feel that they're the largest thing there out on the road. And even though it's true, it doesn't mean that you're invincible. You know, we get called to car accident calls all the time, and we're transporting patients to trauma centers because they weren't wearing their seatbelt, whereas other patients at the same accident get away with a refusal because they were. And in EMS, you see a lot of people get behind the wheel of an ambulance and not put on their seatbelt. We're the people who take care of those who don't wear their seatbelts, and we do the same exact risky behavior.
I think ambulance safety is lacking in a lot of areas. There are guidelines and procedures in place to make it safe, and in an ideal world, we would all follow them and we would all be really safe. But unfortunately, some of those guidelines make it difficult, if not impossible, to function as medical providers.
Well, I've been driving for 3 years, and the most common distractions that I saw were if something was going on in the back of the truck that became urgent. My biggest fear when we first started driving the ambulance was just worrying about my patient in the back. I knew that it was no longer just me in a vehicle driving down the road. I now was responsible for my partner and my patient as well. Before you're able to learn your area, it's definitely scary to worry about getting lost because you're so worried about your patient.
I've been driving for 3 years. My biggest concern was the other drivers. They get scared or nervous and don't know what to do, and they just slam on the brakes or cut over in front of you or do whatever. I think the other drivers, they need to know that we've all been professionally trained.
I have been driving for 4 years, ambulance-wise, and my biggest fear when I first started was just getting used to the size of the truck, as well as making sure that I wasn't endangering my partner, any patients that we had, and especially on our campus, since we work with students, there's so many pedestrians around all the time, making sure to keep an eye out for them. I think a huge distraction can just be the radio traffic in the background. Your partner and a patient in the back can be distracting, as well as any pedestrians, cars following closely behind you. From my perspective, the most important thing is speed. As fun as lights and sirens are, driving in general, at the end of the day, it's dangerous, and it should be kind of a fear at the same time as you enjoy it. So definitely slow down, watch your speed, and wear your seatbelt all the time.
I won't lie and say I don't enjoy driving lights and sirens, but at the same time, it is very scary, you know, just because there's a huge possibility for a wreck there. I've been there. I've been in an ambulance crash and put their seatbelt on. If I hadn't had mine on, I don't think it would have worked out as well for me.
Stay tuned to MSARN for more informative podcasts, research, and information on safety, quality, and performance in EMS. For more information on MSARN or to leave feedback on our podcast, log on to www.msarn.org. For MSARN, my name's Charlie Warner, and I'm just an ambulance driver. Thank you. Good day.